Hey, good afternoon, folks. I'm going to try not to use a microphone. Is that okay? Is that way we'll just do a little bit better. So I'm trying to decide, is it better to have this session before lunch or after? So you're going to hear some grumblings of bellies now, whereas after, everyone's going to be snoozing, right? So if you hear some grumblings of bellies, just realize, what did Linda say? We thank God for the chickens that gave their lives for our lunch, right? I've heard it said that's Jesus' chicken. That's what I've heard it said too. So we are so grateful to have the opportunity to gather together. So I was in David Quigley's presentation earlier, and David like made me feel like a really bad father and grandfather. So he went ahead and showed pictures of his kids. So I'm not going to do that, but I am going to show. So this is my granddaughter, who she's imitating mom, who was just getting ready to birth our first grandson. So is that not the cutest picture? Seriously. It really is. And that's her real belly. That's what's really wild. So today we're talking about burnout. Are you in the right spot?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to talk about some things that I want us to be realistic and really get a good gauge as to what you feel and what you experience when you're feeling a little burnout, a little tired, a little overwhelmed. Anybody ever get that way?
No.
You're in this room because you're a leader. You're in this room because you work with people. And if you're a leader and you work with people, you're going to get burnt out from time to time. I've heard it said, I would love the ministry if it wasn't for the people. But that's who God's called us to minister to. And walk along beside, right? Exactly. So some of your biggest challenges, but yet some of your biggest rewards is working with people. So I could be all kinds of things in life, but my guess is that the burnout factor would not be nearly as strong as it is when we work with people, right? So today we're going to hit a few things, and we do want some involvement and some interaction. You'll see the little fill in the blank thingy. Isn't that kind of a cool thing?
Yes.
I wish I could say I designed it that way. I wish I could say, hey, I want to be different and present something different. No, I didn't. I actually sent it to the printer that way. And by the time it was all done, I realized it was too late to make it landscape. So there you go. It's something a little bit different. You can use it as a Bible bookmark, whatever you want to do. First thing we're looking at today is what is burnout? What is burnout? And if you go ahead and look through your little cheat sheet there, you'll see that burnout is seen as a three-dimensional syndrome with the salient. Isn't that a cool word, salient? If you use the word salient in any conversation, people are just going to respect you even more because they're going to think you're really bright. All that brighter than you are. Salient features of exhaustion, cynicism, and inadequacy, and is considered both a state and a process. A state and a process. When we think about burnout, it's more than just being tired, right? When you think about burnout, it's more than just, oh, I don't want to go into work today, or oh, I don't want to go in the office here, oh, I don't want to lead that Bible study today, or I don't want to lead that youth group today. Burnout is more of a state, but it's also a process. It involves being tired. It involves exhaustion, right? But it also involves you being a little more and more cynical. Say the word cynical.
Cynical.
We all know what that means, don't we? Pretty soon you're nitpicking on everything, everybody, not just in your home, but with your teammates, with your leader, with your pastor. When you're burnt out, you're edgy. When you're burnt out, you're less likely to let things roll. When you're burnt out, you don't operate in grace as you do in other seasons of your life. I know for me, I try to be self-aware. I'm not the world's best at being self-aware, but it's been a theme of mine in ministry for all of these years, trying to help people to become more and more self-aware, and I try to live that in my own life, too. I want to be able to read myself, not always accurately, but if I'm not feeling good, or if I'm hungry, or if I'm hangry, I want to be aware of those things, because those aren't the days where you want to have those tough conversations. Over the years, I've done a lot of counseling, and I learned that after I had three or four sessions that were maybe particularly heavy, I learned that when I was anticipating the afternoon session that I knew would be heavy, and I knew I needed my best, sometimes I realized my best was to say to them, hey, Miss Secretary, would you please call so-and-so and reschedule my 3 o'clock? Because why? I'm being self-aware. Now, some of you would say, oh, I want to keep my schedule, and I want to make sure I don't look like a loser, and I want to make sure that I am not one of those guys that drop things like that on people. Can I tell you, you need to be secure enough in who you are and what you do and what you're called to do to recognize God wants you at your best.
Yes.
And if you're realizing that you're in a state of being burnout, if you're in a state of not just being worn out, but you're burnt out, you're cynical, you're short with people, your grace component has been gone. You're short with your family. You're short with your team. If all of that's happening, then you may be facing some burnout. What are some signs and some symptoms of burnout? If I were to say on the screen there, some physical symptoms. Give me some physical symptoms of what you think are connected to burnout. Some physical symptoms. Give me some.
Headache.
Continue. Yes.
Acid reflux.
Well. Have some black coffee and some chocolate for that one. What are some other physical symptoms? Rick?
Lack of sleep.
What else? These are good. Come on.
Hanger,
you said, or hangry?
Anger.
Well, for me, it's hangry. Okay. Who in the back over here? What's that?
Fatigue.
Yes. Any other physical symptoms?
Eye twitching.
That's actually very true. As a guy who almost became an eye doctor, I said that's almost true. How about GI issues, right?
Yeah.
Our bellies are not the window to the soul, but our bellies can tell us how we're doing overall.
Yeah.
Listen to your belly. And I don't mean this like before lunch we talked. If you have GI issues, there's reasons for that. Some of it could be physical, but when you're nerved up, when you're geared up and your teammates aren't pulling the load, or your pastor's not listening to your passion, or you're the pastor and your team leaders aren't listening to your passion, when all those things are happening, you get frustrated and stuff happens here, good and bad. We'll stop right there. We won't go any deeper on that one. Frustrations, those kind of things happen. How about some emotional symptoms? Give me some. What does that look like when you're feeling burnout? Some emotional symptoms of having burnout as a part of the package. What's that look like?
Crying.
Lashing out. What's that?
Depressed.
Other ones?
Anxiety.
Short.
Yeah, apathy.
Okay.
Aggressive.
Mental persecution.
Whoa. We just entered a whole new realm. And David Quigley is going to come up for the theologian in the room and share with us emotional symptoms. Absolutely. Again, we're talking about burnout, but we're also talking about how to be self-aware so you're aware of what's going on. Why are you snapping with your family? Why are you snapping with the team? Procrastination is another big one. Right? So some of you that are a little OCD, a little perfectionistic, you're more prone to procrastinate. Why is that? If I don't start the job and finish the job, then the job can't be considered good or bad. It's just the job isn't done. Right? So burnout often is connected to procrastination, outbursts, or using substances on occasion as well, right? Talk a little bit, kind of blending some of these now with behavioral signs as well. Overall, reduced performance in everyday tasks. Can I be really transparent about something? There are some days I put my head on the pillow at night, and I feel really good about what was accomplished. I ticked off my list, I got my bullet points, my check marks, I got 7 of 10, which for me is a win. I don't know about you guys, but my list is always way too long. So if I can get 7 of 10, I'm a happy boy. But there's times where I put my head on the pillow at night, and I review what that day has been, and I'll feel like, my golly, I felt like the computer screen just spun and spun and spun. Now, some of that you can't own, but if some of that you should be owning, if some of that is connected to possible burnout where you just are just spinning and spinning and spinning, your reduced performance, that can be an indicator. Now, every day, Honestly, some days we all have those days where it's going really well, and we all have those days where, you know, it's not so productive. So unless there's like a theme, unless there's sequential days in a row, when you're burnt out, you have a lot of those days. Those days begin to add up where you're just spinning like that computer screen, and you're not getting a whole lot done. So instead of that 10-point list I referred to earlier, and I'm happy with a 7, at night you look at, you got 1 or 1.5 done. That's a sign. If your to-do task at the office gets pushed to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, that can be a sign. So some of the factors that contribute to burnout for work and ministry-related causes, right? Work and ministry-related causes, having little or no control over your work or ministry can contribute to burnout. When you feel like you don't have an input, when you feel like your influence has waned, when you feel like you're not being as productive, that can certainly lead to some burnout. Lack of recognition. Now, when I say lack of recognition, what does that mean in your head?
Somebody patting you on the back.
Somebody patting you on the back. Okay, what else can it mean? Lack of recognition. What else can that mean?
When no one acknowledges the work you've done.
No one acknowledges the work you've done. Mm-hmm. Anything else come to anybody?
Affirmation and appreciation.
Affirmation and appreciation. Can I tell you how far a pat on the back goes for anyone around you? It doesn't cost. What was that?
Someone
got patted on the back. Actually, that was just a fly that needed swatted away. That's what that was. So what that tells you, leader that's in the room, you're in the room because you're in leadership. You're in the room because you're in ministry. That's why you're here. And you're in the room because you're a leader. So please remember the validity and the value of giving somebody a pat on the back. That could mean literally the pat on the back like this young man got earlier, swatting that fly. Or that could mean a quick text. An email. I said, hey, I noticed this. Thank you so much. Or I've noticed that this has been improving under your care. Thank you so much. Or, hey, that little girl on Wednesday night came up to me as the pastor and said, this is what I learned today in class. You need to hear that.
Yes.
Sometimes that timely pat on the back can bring such life and such freedom to a soul that's barely making it. So it's important for us to recognize that one of the factors that contribute to burnout in work and ministry-related causes. Sometimes you have overly demanding job expectations. Your role, your ministry, your expectations are just too much. And can I tell you, sometimes we put too much expectations on ourselves. I've learned that over the years, personally and professionally, when I find myself frustrated with someone, team member, someone I'm supervising, family member, sometimes when I'm frustrated, I dial it back and get a big picture view and I recognize, you know what? My expectation on this person has been too high. And when you put too high of an expectation on someone, including yourself, then you're going to live in a constant state of disappointment.
That's right.
So my suggestion is, dial it back. I used to have my to-do list over the years. It was 20 things. And then I realized, that's just stupid. So I went down to 15 things. And some days, guess what? That was stupid. And so now I'm down to like, what are the 10 main things I want to accomplish today? And if I hit that 7, man, for me, that's a blue ribbon. I know many of you in the room are far above that. You do your 50 and you get 49. Congratulations. You get extra Jesus chicken. But folks, you got to know yourself and know the season you're in. If you're prone to depression, if you're prone to being burnt out, if you're prone to being overwhelmed, lower the level of where you think your capability is, and then apply that as well to the team you lead. Because they're human.
Amen. Yeah.
Some of us in this room are vocational ministers. That means we get paid to do what we do. Some of you in this room don't get paid a lick, but you're doing hour upon hour upon hour of ministry because you love Jesus.
Amen.
And you got to work, and you got the kids, and you got a baseball game or a soccer game to go to. So give yourself some grace. Say the word grace.
Grace.
Say it softer. Grace.
Grace.
The first one was a little scary. I love you! I love you. Yeah, I know what kind of coaches you are of the team.
That's good.
Lifestyle causes. Working too much. Not having a balance. What's that phrase? All work and no play makes. Who, a dull boy? That's right. It's important to have balance. That work, life, play, family balance. And if anybody in the room is doing it right, please let me know, because I'm still working on it for me. I just know that in every season of life, you have to figure out what that looks like. My wife and I, we have four daughters. They're all grown and gone, 23 to 33, in three different states, and not one of them is in New York. So we have an empty nest. Even the dog died. Hallelujah! If my wife was in this room, you would see a tear and a caring husband. But she will never hear this, will she? Hallelujah! We're in a different stage of life right now. That 25 years ago when we were raising babies, I yearned for this. And guess what? Now I'm in a situation. We got an empty house. The dog's out back with his sister 6 feet under. And we have an empty house. So my work, life, family is different. It involves us traveling now. I was in Phoenix, Arizona last week. The month before, I was in Texas. Why? Family. I can't just drive down the block and see my kid in soccer. I can't go and see them in cheerleading. My life and work balance is different now than it was 25 years ago, than it was 5 years ago.
Yes.
So what works for you now? You're probably going to have to adjust a little bit as life transitions, right? So we talked a little bit about personality traits as well. I want to talk for a moment about signs you need a breather. And by the way, you have permission to breathe. You have permission to take a breath. Jesus is not up there looking at your time card and saying, you came back from lunch 2 minutes late, right? And you don't get extra points for being involved with 37 different ministries. If anything, Jesus is wagging his finger and saying, dude, get a grip. So you have permission to breathe. You have permission to breathe. You need to be able to hear that. So some of the signs that you need a breather is that you speak more from your head than from your heart. You speak more from your head than your heart. It is much easier to make a head connection with someone than it is a heart connection. So you and I have sat through, some of us in this room, thousands of sermons. And most of us could not tell three of those sermons what they had in them. Maybe three. As good as Pastor Greg's a preacher, if you're a part of Mission Church, not many of us could stand and say, this is what Pastor Greg spoke on even last week. I'm going to call up your wife and see what she said. But here's what you will remember. You're going to remember the heart connection. And when you're burnt out, it takes extra effort to connect with the heart. So you back off from, you don't invest in that. Why? You don't have it to give. So you do your go-to. You do the head stuff. So when I say that you speak more from your head than your heart, it's because it's easier. It's rote. It's habit. It's what you've been, it's routine. It's what you've been doing. Whereas when we speak from the heart, it takes more of an investment. And when you're burnt out, something's got to go. Number two, you talk more about yesterday than you do today. Why is that? Yesterday's really convenient. The most popular day of the week is tomorrow, and the second most popular day of the week is yesterday. That's because it requires no effort to get there. You've been there, you've done that, and you're just sort of coasting. So when we think about burnout, the word coast and coasting has to be connected because you don't have the energy to do anymore. That's a sign. That's something you should be looking at and looking for. You talk more about change. You talk about change. But things always remain the same or become worse. When you need a breather, this is an indicator that you haven't had the energy or the wherewithal to move forward in vision. Sometimes pastors will ask me, how do they know when it's time to move on from their assignment? Sometimes leaders of ministry will ask me, how do I know it's time when my season's coming to a close? The phrase I use is often, when the grace has lifted.
Amen.
When it's becoming laborious, when it's becoming a chore. When the grace lifts and all of a sudden what you've been assigned to do. See, there's a difference between calling and assignment, right? If you're in this room, you've been called to ministry. Welcome to the club. Glad you're here. But here's the deal. Your calling won't change, but your assignment will. With a crowd this size, there's about 100 people in the room right now. Crowd this size, 10 to 15% of you will be in a different role this time next year. Calling hasn't changed, but your assignment will. So how do you know when it's time? How do you know when you know, change? And because you coast, it takes energy and vision to enforce change. And when you're burnt out, you don't have the energy or the vision anymore. And you coast. The grace is lifted. The grace is lifted. I can tell Holy Spirit's doing a couple things here right now.
Amen.
I think there's some aha moments between you and Holy Spirit for some of you. Because you're realizing that's the problem. The grace is lifted. The frustration has increased. The shortness with other people has increased. You can't get a vision. You can't get a heart for moving forward. You're stuck. You're spinning your wheels. And you have to determine, is that just a short season? And if you catch your breath, you'll be better. Or is that the Lord saying, listen, I'm preparing you for the next? Because looking at the faces, I know a lot of your names in this room. But this time next year, if I'm asked back, I don't know if I'm going to be in. But I'm going to look around and realize, guess what? Some of you are going to be in a different role. And that's okay. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that in this moment.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we just pause. And Lord, I know you're doing a little work in some hearts and some minds, even right now, Father. So we just ask that you cement, you encourage, you thread, Father, your amazing voice and whisper into their spirit, confirmation. Let there be a release, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Regaining balance in your life. If anybody's got this down, can I please pay you $100 an hour and tell me how to do it? Because I'm not there yet. I'm getting closer. I'm employing different techniques. I'm learning from past mistakes. I'm realizing some unhealthy ways and some unhealthy enthusiasm tends to need to be tempered by realism. Regaining balance. So if you're saying, yeah, hey, I realize that right now I'm sort of off balance. If you're saying, yeah, some of the things you're saying is ringing a bell. I totally, that's where I'm at. At the end of the day, when you want to regain balance, you need to recognize that the enthusiasm that you bring to the table sometimes needs to be balanced by realism. But Pastor, where's your faith? God can do anything. Well, God can do anything. But guess what? He uses more people than you to do it. So I'm glad you've got the enthusiasm. I'm glad you've got the energy. But let's talk reality here, too. Let's use our brains. So sometimes we need to temper that. Number two, stagnation is best met by churning of the waters. Stagnation is best met by churning of the water, sometimes further education or mental activity. For some of you, that's why you're here today. You're getting education, you're getting mental activity, you're getting fresh ideas. Those are all great things. That'll help push you out of that stagnation thing. Sometimes, some of you that have been in the same ministry for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, all of us are thinking of someone right now. Sometimes your prime was 10 years ago, honey. And it's okay to pass the baton and go to the next. See, we serve a God of the next. God can never be accused of being stagnant. He's a God of the next. So sometimes we get comfortable in the ministry that we're called to. We get comfortable in the assignment we're given. And sometimes we miss the fact that God wants you to move on to make room for the next, but also for you to embrace the next. So don't get stagnant. Number three, frustration sometimes creates energy. It can be negative. It can be positive. Remember years ago, over 30 years ago, I was a part of a multiple staff church, about 1,800, five, six, seven pastors, and it was just a royal, it just was a mess. It was a mess. It was a mess. And there were so many frustrations. Top level leadership. The board was asking me to help monitor what the senior pastor was doing. I was such a young buck, I didn't realize I should have said no from the get-go. Okay. It went from bad to worse to ugly to really bad. And I remember the level of frustration I was experiencing in that season was immense. And I remember my mother asked that me and my uncle and my cousin come to the house and help tear down the barn that we had on the property for many, 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 many years. And can I tell you how therapeutic that was? To tear down, to get that 16-pound sledge. Now, I wasn't thinking of someone's face when I hit the board. Too many times. But when I would hit that board to see it, you know, get knocked down and sweat, like I remember being out there sweating like a big old pig and just, oh, it was wonderful and it was glorious. And why? Because the energy that I had with my frustration had to be put somewhere. And if I didn't put it somewhere healthy, it was going to come out in unhealthy ways. Can anybody relate to this?
Yes.
So be self-aware. Realize what's going on and what the need is. Sometimes when you're really frustrated, you need to get up from your desk, from your table, and take a little 5 or 10 or 15 minute walk. Just get out of the house, get out of the office, get out of the church, and get some of that out. Get some of that out. Number four, apathy can be turned into involvement. Ask God or a trusted friend to help you rediscover your love for pointing people to the love of God. You got into ministry and you accepted and you said yes because you love God and you love people. Am I right? Is that why you're in the room?
Yes.
But when you get frustrated, you still might have a love for God, but there's times it's hard to love those people.
Amen.
Why? Because I love the ministry if it wasn't for?
People.
But who has God called us to work with?
People.
Who has God called you and me to minister to?
People.
Guess what? You're people too, and there's times you're kind of a pickle too, by the way. I've talked to your pastor. I know, you can be a pickle. But so can I. And I hope that I'm in a posture, where I'm a pickle, Holy Spirit reminds me and lets me fix it. Anything worse than being a pickle is an unfixed pickle. That's a phrase that's never been cited in all of the English language, an unfixed pickle. But be in a posture, say the word posture.
Posture.
Where you're always open to what Holy Spirit's sharing with you.
Yes.
About you.
Yes.
Amen.
And then fix it.
That's right.
Say I'm sorry. Yes. Say I blew it. Say I overreacted. Mm-hmm. Will you forgive me? I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're experiencing burnout, that's going to happen a lot more frequently. I literally have 2 minutes to get through 14 more pages of notes. Three quick places to find energy that are available. This is from John Maxwell. Your purpose, your passion, and people. The purpose is the why. What's the reason you exist? What were you made to do? Passion is the what. All of you in this room have strengths and skills that you bring to the table. That's the what? That's the passion behind. You bring some things to the table that I will never bring. And the person sitting next to you will never bring. And then people, this is the who, the faces that Jesus died on the cross for, that has called each of us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the love of Jesus to a dying world. And listen, to make sure that people that are already saved are as healthy as they can be. Some of you are called to bring people into church. By that I mean big C, winning them to Jesus. And some of you are called to help heal the ones that are hurting. And if all of us were honest and I said, who in this room has ever been hurting?
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray blessings upon these amazing people. God, I ask that in the name of Jesus, they find themselves in an opportunity and in a posture, God, where they are self-aware. Lord, you're leading, you're guiding, you're directing. Lord, give them rest. Give them encouragement, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, I know. Tune in next year. I don't know. All right.
Amen. Let's thank Brother Daniel. By the way, that's my first name.
I know it is.
So I'm not going to go with the last name. Crazy. Thank you so much. You can go out through this door if you want to, and you can catch the line quicker.
Oh. Quicker. Hey. Get,
thank you.
Get the message.